Welcome to the Hockey Hound Show. Join us as we break down the latest stories from around the National Hockey League, interviews, and more. Here are your hosts for the show, Michael Prieto and Matt Rezutis.
All right, welcome back to the Hockey Hound Show. I'm Mike. I got my line mate Matt with me. And first off, before we get into it, I'd like to thank our listeners. We're a new podcast and we're getting some pretty good listenership. We would like to thank you guys for listening. And we got a pretty good show for you tonight. We got an NHL rundown that we're going to do. I'm going to hand it off to Matt. There's been a lot that's been going on. But what we want to start off first is the Tyler Bertuzzi, not incident, but he had a heck of a game against Tampa Bay last week. Go ahead, Matt. Why don't you start it off?
Yeah, four goals. And he had they had a little brawl at the end of that where Dylan Larkin got, you know, a terrible cheap shot on him, and he ends up turning around and jacking the guy in the face, and he gets suspended. I thought that was insane, but
incredible.
I like Bertuzzi's fire protecting his captain going after the guy. He was an animal, man. But he had a great game.
Gloves are just flying everywhere.
But how about that hit? Was that suspendable?
I think that the Department of Player Safety definitely should have taken a look at it. I mean, he only hit him from behind, and he went head first into the boards.
Larkin was, dude, he was so mad. He turns around and just jacked the guy in the face. I think I would have done the same thing. He was protecting himself, and I can't believe he got, well, maybe he should have got a game for it, but at least the other guy should have got something, too, because that initiated all of it, and it was just a dirty hit.
So why don't you hit us up with some breaking news, man?
So the league just hit Evander Kane with a 21-game suspension for breaking the COVID protocol rules. It's believed that he has a fake card, and that's a big no-no. And they're hitting him with a big one. And he needs to take a step back, get away from the game, get his head right, get some help. Because, you know, he's got his other issues, too. It's just been a kind of a rough time for the guy. You feel bad for the guy, but he keeps doing stupid things. So,
yeah.
So, you know what? He's got to get right. And the Sharks are, you know, he's a key player for the Sharks. So, love or hate the guy, I'm not a fan of him. I never will be. But he's a big part of that team. He's a top six guy. And it's going to hurt the Sharks for sure.
Yeah, that's too bad. You know, I mean, it just seems like this guy continually shoots himself in the foot. Like, he's just like looking to be the most hated person in the NHL. But for his sake, I hope that, you know, he can pull it together. Because he had a pretty good season last year.
He got a good contract.
Yeah, he did.
I think he's making like $7 million a year, and that's pretty damn good for him. But he's gonna be watching for a little while.
Did you hear about Kucherov?
Yeah, Kucherov is injured again, and everyone's saying, here we go again.
We're going to
put him on the long-term IR and bring him back in the playoffs and dominate again. They're saying he might need some surgery. We don't really know that much yet, but he's another key player for his team. He's a former MVP. They're going to really miss him this year because they got rid of a lot of those guys. They had to trade by just bringing him back.
Yeah.
So they don't really have the depth like they did last year. So this is going to hurt Tampa a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I wonder what he injured. Do you think it's a groin injury?
I haven't heard anything, man. It could be anything. It could be too much Bud Light celebrating still. You never know.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, maybe the summer's just worn off on him and his body needs a break.
It could be, man.
I'll tell you what, I think Pittsburgh has a few things to look forward to.
Yeah, we got Malkin skating again. Sid's real close. And you know what? This team is performing without these two. And once they get them back, they're going to be even more dangerous than they already are right now. So that's good for them. Very good for them.
Why don't you give me the good and the bad and the ugly from last week?
All right, well, let's start off with the good. You know what? I'm surprised to be saying this. The Ottawa Senators, they are led by their goalie, Anton Forsberg, who's kind of been all over the place. He's been very good for them. And leading the charge on the offense is Chris Tierney. He's got 3 goals in 3 games. And this is all without Brady Tkachuk and another key defenseman, Michael Delzato. So good for them. They're kind of shutting everybody up. And you know what? I didn't think the Sens would be great at all. And it's good to see that they're competing now and giving these teams, you know, harder games than they have in the previous seasons.
Yeah, no kidding. I think Brady's first game is going to be Thursday.
He's going to have a C on his chest.
Really?
Do you think so?
No.
No, not yet?
No, not yet.
I think it would be cool. Like, he comes out with a C, not telling anyone, just coming out like a WWE entrance type of
thing. With some fireworks and a smoke awesome. Show.
Like Kenny Powers. Well, let's jump over to another good team right now, the Buffalo Sabres. Yes, I said the Buffalo Sabres. They are 2-0. It's still early. I mean, it could get bad very fast. It's good, though. I mean, I'm happy for these guys. They've had all this drama all summer and, you know, with Eichel. And they're just going out. They're going out and winning. And Anderson and Toharski are solid in between the pipes. And I mean, even Jeff Skinner is getting points. I think he's got 2 points right now. And they're contributing. They got players that are chipping in, and that's good for them. And that's a surprise for me.
Yeah, with Jeff Skinner scoring, to be honest with you, that's a huge win for this team, considering what he's making, what, $9 million? Isn't that his cap hit?
I think $8-9 million. I think he's got 2 assists, but say he's producing. That's all that matters. If you're helping out in the scoreboard, you're doing your job.
I'm glad, man, because, you know, this team has had enough drama, you know, over the summer. You know, that locker room is probably, you know, who knows what was going through their head, you know, heading into camp, trying to bond as a team, and then the coming out went two quick games saying, hey, you know what, we're not what everybody thinks we are, and we're going to get after it, and you're going to have to earn these wins against us, because it sounds like they're putting the league on notice that it's not going to be easy.
That's exactly what you do to shut people up. You go out and win, and that's what the Sabres are doing, and I give them a lot of credit for that.
I think Florida's 2-0 now, aren't they?
Florida is my next team. Yes, they are 2-0. Bob, it looks like he found his game back. He's 2-0. Spencer Knight hasn't even seen any ice yet.
Wow.
Sam Bennett leads the team in 3 goals. I mean, Coach Q, man, he's a great coach. He's got these guys all playing. Connor Verhaeghe's got 3 points. Aaron Ekblad, back from injury, he's got 3 points. Barkov, the most underrated player in the league, he's at 3 points. And you know what? They have most of the active roster. They're all pluses. They're Sam Bennett's a +3. Ekblad's a +3. Forsling, a former Blackhawk who did nothing, is a +5. You got Gudas, that bad dude with a nasty beard. He's +4. I mean,
Radko.
This team is very, very, very dangerous. I think that they are Stanley Cup favorite. I'm still going with the Islanders, but I think this team could surprise a lot of people.
Do you think they took the crown of the King of Florida?
No, you got to win a cup for that first. They maybe 2 in a row, but no, I think if they can knock out Tampa, which they're probably going to run into Tampa if they want to get to the main the big show, I think they can do it. And I mean, they got the experience now. They brought in Joe Thornton. He should help. I know he hasn't won anything, but Coach Q has, and he's the difference maker in this.
What about the Pens? How do you see the Pens shaping up?
Well, after watching that last game, the Pens absolutely embarrassed Marc-Andre Fleury and the Blackhawks. I think they scored, 15 seconds in. You got Jeff Carter is leading the charge, and they don't even have, you know, Sid, like we said, Sid and Malkin yet. Wait till they get those guys. And Chris Letang's having a good start. He's got 4 assists. He is a -2, but, you know, he puts up points. But the whole team's contributing, and once they get their leaders back, they're going to be even better.
How long do you think Malkin has?
Before he gets hurt again?
Well, how about we'll do two? How long before he's, you know, he gets hurt again, number one? Number two, I mean, how many years does he have left? Because he's always been getting injuries, but they seem to be stacking up quite a bit recently.
Yeah, just I don't know. He is an exciting player to watch. He really is. It's just that he's always, like you said, he's always getting hurt, and I could see him getting hurt again. He's getting older. He's got a lot of miles on him. Hopefully he's back soon because the team needs him. He's a key player. But you know, I could see him going down again, getting hurt, you know, later in the season, just because of the wear and tear on that guy.
Yeah.
But they should be patient with the guy. I mean, I would like to see Sid back. I think Sid is the glue to this team. He is the heart and soul. But you know, Malkin may take their time and make sure he's right, and hopefully he can stay healthy, man.
Well, you know, to move on, we've got another team that's had a really good start, the Columbus Blue Jackets. Another team that it's good to hear, you know, they get some good news. They've been losing a lot of star players over the past few years, and it just seems to have been, you know, just bad news after bad news. But they've got had a good start to the season this year, and they're looking to make some waves.
Yeah, they're 2-0, and that's a team that I thought would start, you know, slow like the Sabres, and you know, they're coming out hot. They lost Jones this summer, and Werenski's kind of the defensive man there now, and he's playing well. Elvis 2-0. I mean, one of the most likable goalies in the league. Just not goalies, just players. I think he said he wanted to win the Vezina for his late friend that just passed, and I think that's awesome.
Yeah,
and he's playing good. He's 2-0, so you never know; it could happen. And who's his name, captain? I think Boone Jenner was named captain there, and he's got that team playing very well. Boldquist hasn't done anything yet, but you got Patrick Laine. They scored a big OT goal the other night. And did you see his? He looked like a freaking James Bond villain walking into the game. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
But it was all over Twitter. I was laughing my ass off when I saw that. And he's just a weird dude, but man, he's playing. He's got 3 points in two games.
That's pretty cool.
A big blow, though, was Max Domi getting hurt. I think he fractured a rib. He was actually playing. He looked like he was back to normal Max Domi. Last year, we saw him a lot playing Chicago, but he did not look good at all. He kind of turned into like a goon type of player, but yeah. It seems like this year he was you know, starting to be an offensive threat for those guys.
You know, he went through I would say maybe like the past 2 years has been pretty rough for Max Domi, because he was a pretty big threat for you know, pretty much his whole career. Then out of nowhere, especially last year, he was just really brought some goonish to his game.
I mean, I don't get why Phoenix got rid of him.
I don't either.
Phoenix, Arizona, but it's the Coyotes, but they got rid of him. He was great there, I thought, and I always go back to this. I loved when he just laid out Kessler in that fight. It was just awesome. Kessler was trying to be all tough with this guy, and he should have turned around and looked at the name on the back. This Max Domi just one hit, I think, put him down, and it was great. He deserved every minute of that. So I love that.
Man, that's crazy. I would never fight a Domi.
A Domi.
So how are the Canes doing, man?
Canes are another team that's very good right now. They're 2-0. Svechnikov is leading the team in points. Tevu's also up there with them. And get this, Freddie Anderson is 2-0.
And not injured.
And not injured and not getting harassed by the Toronto media. Like, this guy can't handle it. Now he's on a team that's less pressure from the media, and he's 2-0. He's doing great. He's on a very good team, well coached by Rod Brendamore. Got some good pieces there, and hey, this could be their year too. You never know.
They seem like another Florida, just a well coached team from top to bottom, where they buy in, the coach kind of leads by example type of an organization.
I would love playing for Rod Brendamore. He's just a cool dude.
Now let's get into the bad.
Okay. Well, you guys know that I picked the Islanders to be my Stanley Cup champions this year. They are the bad because they are 0-2. Kyle Palmieri is the only player on the team with 2 points. The rest of them have 0 or 1 point. And Sorokin is 0-2. I think Varlamov is injured. I wouldn't panic yet because Barry Trotz is a very good coach. He'll get these guys back on. But for this week, I have to give him the bad just because this is a team that should not be at the bottom of the standings.
What about the Jets?
The Jets, I think you picked them to not be a playoff team. I picked them to be the third in the Central, and right. They are 0-2 as well. They have 8 goals against in 2 games, and Connor Hellebuck's played in both of them, and he's a difference maker for this team. If he's not playing well, this team will not be good. So he's got to get it together. He's a Vezina-caliber goaltender. So the Jets also have to wake up because they are also in the bad category for me.
Do you think the Jets are under any pressure, you know, from players, organization, fan base?
Yeah, it's Canada, man. They want a winner there. And it's a slow start. Hopefully they turn it around. They got some good players on that team. I think Blake Wheeler actually just entered the COVID protocol, so he's our captain. That's not a good thing either. So, and Mark Scheifele had to serve a 1-game suspension still from that, I think it was Evans hit against Montreal where he laid that guy out and got a 4-game suspension. But he had to serve one more game, season game. So he missed a game. So hopefully he's back and they get it together.
Time to move on to the ugly, and I'm going to take this one.
You go ahead. I'm going to get my popcorn.
I'm going to talk about the Chicago Blackhawks, and I am a Blackhawks fan, and it's painful to see. It's painful to watch what has transpired recently. I'm not a Devils fan. I never have been ever since watching them in the playoffs when I was a kid running the trap. I thought they were a boring team. I thought the Blackhawks were going to come in for an easy game. And no, it wasn't an easy game. One of the things that I did like from that game is it seems that Jack Hughes, who is the number one draft pick, I want to say 2 years ago, he's really starting to come into his own. The past couple years, he seemed small and he seemed, I want to say a little timid, but now he seems to be, I want to say, expressing himself as a player, and he was making his will known against the Blackhawks the other day. He looked really good for the Devils. That being said, the Blackhawks looked horrible, and it comes down to a couple things. It's not necessarily the talent on this team; it's the coaching. I believe that it's time for Jeremy Colliton to go on his merry way. You know, he talks a good game. He says, you know, a big thing, but you know, he's supposed to have like this genius system. And the problem is the system doesn't work, or it's so complicated that nobody knows what it is, because they're constantly having to deal with odd man rushes. They're constantly having to deal with, you know, these scoring droughts and confused players on the ice, you know, not knowing what to do or where to go. And it's a huge, huge problem. And I don't know what's going on with the management of this team where they can't see that. This is nothing new. This has been happening for 3 years now with this guy. And nothing has changed. And we've given him, you know, the opportunity to grow and to be a better coach and maybe kind of adapt a little bit. But his AHL style, that this system that he did well with in the AHL has not translated to the NHL. And it's not working. Ironically, the Hawks are normally a really good 5-on-5 team, and their special teams are horrific. Right now, their special teams are excellent, but their 5-on-5 game is bad. It's so bad that we're having conversations about playing Dylan Strome right now, because that's where the options are right now. We're moving guys up and down the lineup, trying to see who fits in here, trying to get the offense going, and nothing's working. And it's not working because of the talent or the players. It's not working because of the coaching, and that's Jeremy Colliton. And I lay this all at his feet and Stan Bowman's feet. Stan made a lot of changes this summer to make this team better, and it's being held back by this coach and its system. I hate to talk about him that way, but this is what it is. I think about 3/4 of the team is in the minus category. I think Kaner's got 4 got 4 points, but he's a minus five right now, which is absolutely brutal.
We have two even players, Mike. That's it. Two even.
Wow. See, that's incredible. And you know what? Out of the goaltending that we've had, I think Lankinen has looked the strongest. I don't know if Marc-Andre Fleury just needs to get his feet under him, maybe not being thrown out to dry by the defense because, you know, the defense doesn't know who they're covering, which is terrible. And, you know, to make things even worse is that the league has caught on to Colin's system so much that I think there's about three or four odd man rushes a game. Normally, when you watch a game, you might not even see one. And with the Hawks, I mean, we're seeing like three or four a game. It's that bad. So something needs to be done there. Something really, really needs to be done. And I think they need to make a coaching change right now. There's been rumors going around Twitter all day talking about
Tortorella.
Yes, Tortorella's been mentioned, but they're actually saying that, believe it or not, that Babcock might be the one for the job.
Oh, boy. You got to get the offense together.
Get the offense going.
That guy's a scumbag.
I would definitely say he's probably the not the most well-liked guy, but he's had some success. But I don't know if he'd be the right guy for the job. What do you think, Matt?
No, I think a guy like Tortorella needs to come in here and kick these guys in the ass and get them playing right and get them a system that works. Sure, their stats are going to go down, but the wins will go up. That's just me. A lot of people don't like Tortorella because he's mean to the media. I think it's hilarious, but I think he's a good coach. And if they buy into a system like his, they could be a better team.
Yeah, I agree.
You can ask Ranger fans and Jackets fans because they'll tell you the same thing. He changed what needed to be changed, and they got back on the winning track. So I think it could help.
I think the problem with Tortorella is that, you know, the team buys in, everything's all good for maybe like the first season or two. But when he gets to about the third season, I think that's where things start to slide with him a bit.
Well, I think he would have been pretty good in Columbus still. I think the issue was Laine. Laine wasn't, you know, he couldn't play in his system, and they just traded for him, and he's kind of like a superstar player, and, you know, the superstar player wins in the end because they're paying him more money, and I think that's what kind of drew Tortorella out. But Tortorella's got a good gig. I think he's with ESPN now, and I don't think I'd want to leave a safe job for the Blackhawks right now. It's a lot of work, and he is older. I think he's in his late 60s now. So
really?
I think so, man.
He doesn't look that old.
No, he looks good.
He does, man. He looks really good for his age. Yeah. He can really get after it, too. But you never know, man. The competitor in him might be like, you know what? I think I can go over there and turn that club around, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Are there any other coaches that kind of stand out that could possibly take this Blackhawks gig?
Well, there are coaches that are available, but I don't know if it would help with their issue. I think like Bruce Boudreau, he's kind of an offensive guy. I like Gerard Gallant, but he was already, you know, picked up by the Rangers. But, you know, you never know. You might find a gem out there and just to change it up.
You know, it seems like for, you know, a while, I would probably say the past decade, 2010 to about 2020, it's been run and gun, skating with your hair on fire type of style. And recently, it seems like it's not so much anymore, that there's going more of a physicality.
Yeah.
There's more of a physicality to the game. So we might have a big influx of really, really fast and very talented players. And it seems like these physical players, say like a Brady Tkachuk, Matthew Tkachuk, you know, these types of guys are kind of at a premium right now because of their types of game. Do you think that other organizations see how they kind of molded themselves after the Blackhawks, after they've had sustained success in the 2010s into these fast teams, to more like an Islanderish type of team where they've got one superstar with a lot of skill and they surround him with very solid role players, a couple shooters, some grinders, and just a tough team?
Well, I don't think that's worked yet, unless you considered the St. Louis Blues championship like that. But I thought the Blues had, you know, more skill up front than, say, like the Islanders do right now.
Yeah.
But hey, man, it could work. It could. But look at the last teams to win. You know, you had Tampa and Tampa. You know their roster. They're just lights out. Great offense. Great defense. The best goaltender in the world. Then you, like, say you're looking at the Islanders roster. You got two solid goalies. A 1A and a 1B. Depending on what night, they could flip flop. But it comes down to the coaching too. You got Barry Trotz. He's won a cup with the Capitals. That's totally different than the Islanders. But the Islanders, they seem to be, I know this year they're 0-2. It's a slow start. But last year, they all bought into that. They were all grinding away, winning games. They were one game away from the Stanley Cup final. And I think they would have won that cup against Montreal. Canadians, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't even been an issue, I don't think. I think they could easily won in 4 or 5.
Absolutely.
But, you know, but the teams that are top heavy, like you say the Maple Leafs, I think what's going to hurt them in the playoffs is the depth. And especially when your big three, I know Tavares was hurt, but Matthews and Marner, they didn't show up, and then you got no depth. So, I mean, you're relying on Campbell to make a lot of saves, and, you know, he played pretty well, but they were upset, man. It was bad. I thought last year was there a good chance for Toronto to get that cup last year. It was the easiest way to get to the final for them, and they couldn't get it done. So, I don't know, man. We'll see what system is going to win this year. It could be a top-heavy team, or it could be a team like the Islanders. We're going to have to see.
What about goaltending? Because we have like a team like Tampa Bay, who's won. Vasilevsky was just lights out, an animal. But yeah. You also have the 1A, 1B type of scenarios as well. Do you think that it's wise to have a really solid tandem instead of just having one lights-out goalie?
Yes, unless you're Tampa Bay, because that guy Vasilevsky is just a freak. He's a great goaltender. A team like the Islanders, yes, they need two good goalies. Every team, you need two goalies. I think Pittsburgh needs a goalie, but they're getting it done right now. But you could see them making a move to try to get a solid number one goalie. You know, the Hawks brought in Fleury to help, but it's just hasn't been working out yet. You know, Columbus has two good goalies. Vegas had two good goalies, so they're relying on Robin Leonard now. And you know what? This is his first year as a starter, like without him sharing a net. So we'll see how they do, because they're another team that has high expectations. So that Fleury trade could have you know, bit them. So we're gonna be patient and have to wait and see.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Are there any goalies right now that stick out to you in the NHL that has really played heads above the rest?
Well, look at Ottawa. I'm surprised. Forsberg has been pretty good. He's made some highlight reel saves. You know, like, I'm really surprised about Connor Hellebuyck right now. 8 goals against in 2 games that's insane. I don't know what's going on with that, but he's a top goalie. He needs to be better. But I'm honestly, the most surprised I am is Bobrovsky. I thought this guy could have been claimed, you know, if they didn't protect him, he could have been on a different team last year. I thought Spencer Knight outplayed both of those guys, and Driger ended up going to Seattle. But Bobrovsky, man, he's 2-0, and I was ripping him all summer. I couldn't believe, like, hey, this guy's making $10 million a year. He's garbage in the playoffs. It was insane. But so far, he's been good.
Wow. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing how you know, how this changes, because, you know, the beginning of the season is one thing, and then it's almost as if the season has like a life of its own, where really good teams at the beginning kind of fade out, and then you've got other teams that have been really good through the whole year, and then you got other teams that kind of just come out of nowhere, and they're just a complete 180. You know, they just change everything. Team buys in, and then they make a rush or a run for the playoffs. I'm really excited to seeing how that unfolds and how that plays out.
Yeah, but, me too. I'm surprised with some of the guys leading the stats, too. You got Kopitar with seven points. You got Tyler Bertuzzi with four goals.
Wow.
It's just like, would you ever think Tyler Bertuzzi would be leading the league in goals?
No.
I know it's early, but it's still pretty cool for a Red Wing to be up there.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a madman, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Larkin's been playing well, too. It's just, you know, back to that, you know, that hit from behind. I was just really surprised about that. And, you know, it's funny. That was the day after a Doc took that hit from Landeskog.
Yeah, and he got a two-gamer for that one.
Yeah, he did. He got two games for that. And actually, I was kind of expecting the Tampa player to get get a couple games at least, and he didn't get anything. I was really surprised. That's why I was talking to Chris from the FHN, and he's like, what do you think the punishment's going to be? And I was like, oh, the NHL player, you know, player of health and safety is going to spin the wheel of punishment, you know, see
George
whatever
Peros.
We hand out.
Yeah.
Let's see.
The biggest goon of the 2000s, one of them is in charge of player safety. I find that hilarious.
It's incredible. You know, it's ironic.
Yeah. They usually give those roles to those guys, though, when they're done. It's weird. It's like, are they like, do they know what's like, where like the guy, like if they know if it's on purpose or something, do these guys know something we don't or something? Like, oh yeah, he meant that one. Give him a two gamer. Give this guy a four. Spin that wheel.
Well, hey man, do you got anything else tonight?
No, I'm just looking at current scores right now.
Let's look at some current scores.
Yeah, we got Anaheim is tied with Calgary. They're still trying to find their game. I know Daryl Sutter's trying to mix up some lines. The Blues are tied with the Coyotes at 1-1. And New York won tonight in overtime against the Austin Matthews return Maple Leafs. They lost 2-1. And Panarin scored the game winner, and Mika Zibanejad scored his first goal of the season. That's nice to see. He just got paid big bucks. And Philly put the beat down on the Kraken tonight, 6-1. That's another team, man. Like Philly, you never know what you're gonna get. It's like every other year, they're either really good or they're just really bad. So hopefully they could get it together this year and make the playoffs.
There's nothing in between for him?
No, I feel like they're either really bad. Carter Hart's good, or he's really, really bad.
He had a really bad game recently, didn't he?
I think. He's still a young kid. I mean, it kind of sucks they compare him to Carey Price. That's a tough one for him. That's a tough shadow to follow, I guess you could say. It's tough for him. But they brought Martin Jones in to back him up, and you know, he wasn't that great with the Sharks when he was there. And I think I would have got back to that goaltending chat we just had. They should have probably invested in another goaltender as well.
Wow.
Well, look at Dallas. They got four of them.
Yeah.
They got four starting goaltenders.
And Holtby's, he's kind of running away with the starting gig, isn't he?
Holtby, they said Ottinger in the AHL right now. He is tearing it up right now.
Wow.
Yeah. So. What a good problem to have.
Well, cool, man. I'm going to wrap it up. This has been a great podcast. A lot of fun. If you haven't done so, give us a follow on Twitter. You could find us. I'm going to leave it into the comments in the notes on the on your podcast app before you check that out. And as you check that out, be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes that we have coming out. We release on Tuesdays and Friday mornings, 5:15 a.m. So it'll be ready for you on your commute. Or if you want to listen to it over the weekend, you know, that's fine too, whenever you get a chance. But be sure to give us a follow. We really appreciate it. We appreciate you listening. And give us a subscribe and have a great one. This is the Hockey Hound Show. We're out of here.
Thank you for listening to the Hockey Hound Show. You can follow us on social media at Hockey Hound Show. And be sure to check out our website at www.officialhockeyhound.com.